And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are celebrating a beginning and an end today of this Feast of Pentecost. We celebrate the beginning of the church. We sometimes call this the birthday of the church, when the Spirit came on the disciples and they were strengthened to go out. The rumor has it there was a birthday this week. Our pastor, he can now be an AARP. We're also celebrating an end, the end of the 50 days of the Easter season. And if the deacon remembers it, we'll symbolize it at the end of Mass by carrying the Easter Paschal candle out in procession. Originally, this Feast of Pentecost is a Jewish feast. It was originally a harvest feast where they gathered in all the fruits of their labor. Actually, it's still called in Judaism the Feast of Weeks. It's 50 days after Passover, so it's a week of weeks plus one day for the feast day. And in Jesus' time, it was a pilgrimage festival where all the devout Jews were expected to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast at the temple. That's why we heard of all those nations that Michael had to read, all those different nationalities. But they were all gathered there in Jerusalem. And the way that John puts them, it's almost like an arc going from east to west and ending at Rome. This feast for Judaism also became a feast when they celebrated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai and entering into that covenant when God said, "I will be your God and you will be my people." That was when Moses went up to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and God revealed himself in the fire and in the wind, powerful revelation of God to God's people. In our first reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how God is also revealing himself in a powerful way. But God is doing something new on that Pentecost Sunday. It was almost like how the Spirit moved over the waters at that first creation. Here God is now moving over his new people in a new creation, creation of a new people of God, and not only just one chosen nation, but all the nations of the world. The rich harvest is being gathered together. And the law that the people will carry now is not a law that will be just written on tablets of stone, but as the prophet Jeremiah foretold, would be written on our hearts. In our first reading from Acts, we hear about that powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then in the Gospel, we hear of another giving of the Spirit, but it's not quite as dramatic. Jesus simply and gently breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I know in our small Christian community, we had an interesting discussion on this. It was like, well, when did the Holy Spirit come? Was it Easter night, or was it Pentecost? And we came to realize it isn't an either or, but the Spirit can come more than once, and the Spirit can come in different ways. Think in our own life. We received the Spirit when we were baptized. We also received the Spirit when we were confirmed. And the reason that we have baptismal fonts as we come in, holy water, is to remind us that we are to be open to the Spirit every day in our life. Some people experience the Holy Spirit in a powerful, born-again experience, like Paul on the road to Damascus. Others may experience the Spirit in a gentler way, throughout life, gradually coming to a deeper realization of the Spirit in their life. Kind of like Elisha, when he went up Mount Sinai, he didn't experience God in the powerful earthquake or in the strong wind as Moses did, but he only experienced the Spirit in the soft, still breeze. Sometimes we as Catholics are asked that question by some of our evangelical friends, are you saved? And sometimes what they're thinking about is that one powerful experience when we got knocked off our horse. And maybe some of us have been graced with that kind of an experience of God in our life, like the apostles at that Pentecost Sunday. But probably for many, our coming to the Spirit has been a gentler, more gradual process. The best response I've heard to that question, are you saved, is, yes, I have been saved in baptism, and I'm being saved. And God willing, I will be saved, because salvation is a process of a whole life on our way back to our Heavenly Father. We're looking into a process now here in our parish called Whole Community Catechesis, lifelong faith formation, with a realization that we're never a finished product. Confirmation is not the end from our faith growth. We're called to keep growing throughout our life. The Holy Spirit can be a difficult concept to preach on or to explain. The easiest way to explain the Holy Spirit is to show the fruits of the Spirit. See the Spirit in action. We know the Spirit when we see it moving. One way that we all can experience the Holy Spirit is through that gift that Jesus gave to his church on that first Easter evening, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes forgiveness can be a very profound, dramatic experience. Sometimes it can be a gentle embrace. Someone shared with me a reflection on forgiveness that shows how amazing forgiveness is, whether it's dramatic or gentle. This is called East and West. Here's a funny little factoid, something you may never have thought about before. We have a North Pole, a South Pole, but not an East or a West Pole. How come? A little quirk in the space-time continuum? A glitch in the globe? Or maybe an intentional oversight to teach us a valuable lesson. See, you can only go north so far and you reach a pole. If you go any further, you're going south. But you can go east all day long and never get there. Same thing in the other direction. Head for the west and you can ride till the wheels fall off your scooter, but you never get there. God doesn't just take our sins a little ways away and leave them where we can still see them. Instead, he takes them as far as the east is from the west, as it says in Psalm 103. An example of the Spirit at work in our world today is whenever people reconcile. I saw a powerful sign of the Spirit in our world a few years ago. It was one evening, I looked up in the sky, and I saw fire in the sky. It was the space shuttle going up at night. But I thought about what a wonderful image of a modern-day Pentecost and the Spirit at work in our world, where nations that had been in competition now are working together on the International Space Station. And it was almost as Pentecost was, a reversal of the Tower of Babel when people became separated by language. But now we were coming together to work together. I have one story to share with you about an example of how the Spirit can work in our world today. And it's a story about, it's called The Boy and the Maestro. It's a story about a mother who bought a ticket to a concert by Ignaz Paderewski, the great Polish pianist. She took her five-year-old son with her, hoping the experience would encourage him in his young efforts at music. She was delighted to see how close to the stage they were. Then she met an old friend and got so involved talking with her that she failed to notice that her son had slipped away to do some exploring. When 8 o'clock arrived, the lights dimmed, the audience hushed to a whisper, and the spotlight came on. Only then did the woman see her 5-year-old on the stage, sitting on the piano bench, innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. She gasped in total disbelief, but before she could retrieve her son, Paderewski walked onto the stage. Walking over to the piano, he whispered to the boy, "Don't stop, keep playing." Then leaning over the boy, Paderewski reached out his left hand and began to fill in the bass. A few seconds later, he reached around the other side of the boy, encircling him and adding a running obbligato. Together, the great maestro and the tiny 5-year-old mesmerized the audience with their playing. When they finished, the audience broke into thunderous applause. Years later, almost all those present forgot the pieces that Paderewski played that evening. But no one forgot Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's a wonderful image for what we celebrate here at Pentecost. The image of what can happen when the Spirit comes on his people, and as we as church with the Holy Spirit in our midst can make beautiful music. Because you think about that first Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, Jesus had departed his disciples, who were very much like spiritual children. Their knowledge of God and how to spread God's kingdom was terribly deficient. It was like the little boy's knowledge of music. And of course, the great Polish maestro resembles the Holy Spirit coming upon his disciples, encircling them with love, whispering encouragement to them, and transforming their feeble efforts into something beautiful. Musically, the little boy's skill was minimal, but Paderewski built upon it and turned it into something beautiful, something that completely mesmerized the sophisticated audience that gathered in the hall that evening. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit can take whatever we have, no matter how small, build upon it, transform it into something powerful and beautiful. As Paul wrote in that beautiful letter to the Corinthians, if we each share our gifts, we build up the body of Christ. I'd like to conclude with an adaptation from a poem by the Mexican poet and mystic Armando Nervo. Alone, we are only a spark, but in the Spirit, we are a fire. Alone, we are only a string, but in the Spirit, we are a lyre. Alone, we are only an anthill, but in the Spirit, we are a mountain. Alone, we are only a drop, but in the Spirit, we are a fountain. Alone, we are only a feather, but in the Spirit, we are a wing. Alone, we are only a beggar, but in the Spirit, we are a king. Happy birthday, people of God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit,